Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And Faisal, we're talking tax, man. I mean, that's a topic of interest to everybody, and it's a scary topic for many. We're joined by Jamie Golombek, who is the Managing Director of Tax and Estate Planning at CIBC. And Jamie, you've done a terrific job in that first segment of giving us an idea of what the new old government's going to do and some of the potential complications, given it's a minority, and that NDP have some specific policies that could be of concern. One question we didn't get to that I do get often is tax on income. So can you maybe just opine a little bit about what you think may or may not happen with respect to income taxes and either create or alleviate some of the fears that our viewers and listeners have?
Yeah, well, I think the fears are warranted, quite honestly. I mean, we're at very high tax rates now, depending on your province, of course, but our tax rates are over 50% at the high-end margin in at least 7 out of the 10 provinces currently. And I don't see the current government reducing the tax rates, you know, given everything that's going on. If anything, they could go up, certainly for the higher-income earners. And we didn't see this in the Liberal, although we did see this a number of years ago when the Liberals introduced that very high-income bracket for income over $215,000 or so federally. But remember, in the NDP platform, and again, we do have a minority government, and we do need the NDP certainly to be on board potentially with some of the voting in the fall. But in the NDP platform, they did want to raise the top rate by 2 more percentage points, right? Up to 35% from 33% on the federal side. And that could put top rates, you know, as high as 56%, depending on the province that you live in Canada. So, you know, I don't think rates are coming down anytime soon, at least not with this government. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the government decides to have the wealthy or the high income pay what they call their fair share, pay a little bit more. We've seen this already with the luxury tax, right? That's coming on the boats and on the cars and the airplanes. And so we'll see what happens there with the increased tax rates. But I think it's a concern for sure.
Jamie, one other concern that does come up is old age security clawbacks and potential changes to old age security. Now, this was not talked about in the campaign, but there are fears out there that they might change the program when it comes to this entitlement. One is lowering the amount of income that you need in order to get a clawback started. Right now it's around $79,000 or so, and then that might get dropped down. That would actually save some money for them. Is that counterintuitive to what this government considers to be middle income earners? Or do you think that an old age security clawback range would be dropped from $79,000 to something lower?
Yeah, look, I think it could be dropped. I mean, we haven't seen anything on this from a policy officially from the Liberals or really from anyone else at this point. But, you know, there is certainly a debate among economists or whatever. What is the purpose of old age security? It's to provide security, right? If you are making $75,000 a year in retirement, depending on your lifestyle, do you need additional security from the government, right? Coming from a sort of a general fund, general revenue. It's not like the CPP, which you've paid into, and it's a contributory plan, and it's like a pension plan that you've, you know, really saved for. This is really just funded out of general revenue. So the question is, like, is the OAS clawback floor too high? In other words, should it be brought lower? Should people that making, you know, lower amounts of income continue to enjoy this as government? Or should we reserve that money for people who really need it, really lower income seniors and things like that? So, you know, it's an interesting debate. I think that a lot of seniors get very vocal when it comes to OAS clawback. It's actually interesting. There's less than 5%, of seniors are subject to clawback, yet we hear from them all the time because it's very vocal.
Let's chat about
Jamie. Let's talk a little bit about year-end tax planning. Faisal, sorry to cut you off there. I think that we're moving into the last quarter here, and like you often tell us every year, once we get through the end of the year, you can't do any further tax planning. So maybe give us a list of the things that you think those people or that Canadians, particularly those retiring, should be thinking about here as we move into the end of the year.
Yeah, well, I mean, the most common one, of course, we want to remind anyone who's turning 71 this year that this is your final kick at the can with the RSP. So you've got to wrap up that RSP before the end of the year. You could cash it out. That would be a pretty silly thing to do because you'd have to pay tax on the full amount. Most people generally, of course, take the RSP and they roll it over to a RIF where you keep all the same investments. And then every year after the year you set it up, you're required to take out a minimum amount every year, starting at around 5 or 6%. And every year that goes up a little bit. Have to withdraw that, but of course that can be withdrawn in kind. You don't have to actually liquidate any of your investment portfolio. So the first thing, of course, is to make sure you're on top of that now, October, November, so you're not waiting till last minute to roll that RSP over to the RIF. The other thing is that, of course, if you are turning 71 and you still have RSP room, you might want to make that final contribution. But while you can still have an RSP, you don't have that normal 60 days that you would normally have until next year to make an RSP contribution if you turn 71 this year. So you might want to think of making that final contribution before the end of the year. That being said, if you have a younger spouse or partner, you still can contribute to, of course, a spousal RSP beyond 71 if you have earned income. And let's just remind everyone that earned income we think of often as salary employees. But earned income is also anyone who's self-employed, self-employment business income, but it also includes rental income. So if you've got a rental property, you rent out your basement, you're reporting that as rental income on your return, that's earned income, which would allow you to create RSP room and therefore make an RSP contribution even beyond 71 if you've got that younger spouse or partner that can have that spousal RSP.
The conversation that I get, Jamie, is let's take as much money as we can out of the RSP or the RIF right now, because if I was to pass away in Alberta, top tax rate 48%, let's try to do that. Whenever I've crunched the numbers, Jamie, it's come back 9 times out of 10. It's better to defer, defer, defer. In your opinion, and let's set the record because you're the tax expert here, what are your thoughts in regards to the idea of pulling money out early to save upon death, or deferring as long as you can?
Yeah, it rarely makes sense to take out money you don't need early. If you need the money to live on, go for it, right? Take the money out, enjoy your retirement, do that traveling, buy that condo, do those things you want to do. But if you're taking it out purely as a tax play, to me it makes little, if not any sense at all. Take the money out before you actually need it. That being said, we have seen scenarios where it does make sense. So, for example, you really are in the lowest tax bracket. You have no other income, and you want to take out that $40,000 a year to stay in the lowest tax bracket. I think that can make some sense, right? You're taking out, $40,000 a year, bringing yourself in the lowest tax bracket, paying, 25% tax on that money rather than on death paying 48%. But it also depends on your age, right? If someone, is only 65 and they have a life expectancy of 30 years in some cases, right? Do you really want to prepay taxes even at 25 versus, 48% 25 years in advance? That being said, if you're in your 70s or 80s and you've been diagnosed with a terminal illness and you've only got a few years to live, that would be a scenario where, yeah, maybe it does make sense to take some money out earlier so you can pay tax at lower rates rather than having it taxed at the highest rate in the year of death.
And these are all the kind of questions that come up, Dave, when it comes to planning for the future. Big questions about how do you bulletproof your retirement. We always talk about that. The number one or single item expense that's probably going to be the largest every year in your retirement is taxes. So tax management and tax strategies is very important. And we talk about these strategies. We talk about what we call 3D in our program at Popowitch Carmeli Advisory Group on our seminars live online. And you can join us for this on October the 19th. That's Tuesday, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right, and join us after the break to continue the conversation about not just taxes, but about how to wrap all of this together to make sure that you've got the most efficient distribution and use of your assets to support your lifestyle. That's after the break here on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.